Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Foxology. I'm Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Monday. It's Master Your Mindset Monday. Yes, this is the day that we take a look at reshaping our thinking, shaking up our paradigms, challenging ourselves to grow and stretch. And you know what happens when we do that? Well, here's the deal. If we truly do become what we think, if our lives truly do go in the direction of our most dominant thoughts, then when we think more productively, more positively, when we attempt to clean house mentally and emotionally, well, the first step is that life seems to look better, and oftentimes the great news is that it gets better. So I learned that it helps to have a good outlook, but it helps also to take a good in-look at ourselves, and that's where the real help, healing, and headway comes. So we're on our way perhaps to some mind-shifting conversation about pain and healing today. You know, a lot can happen in life that hurts, and sometimes it hurts and hurts. And some people feel at a loss of what to do with it. Some people, unfortunately, decide to end it. Some people cry out for help. Some people heal. And that's my hope today, if you're hurting. If you know someone who is, give them a call, email them, text them, Facebook them, Twitter them, link them in, and let them know we're talking about pain and healing today. And we'll be taking a very insightful look at various ways, possible pathways to finding ways to feeling better. My radio BFF joins me again today for what I know will be an enlightening talk. She is the woman with the most talent that I've ever seen. She's the one and only Cassandra McShepherd. Welcome, Cassandra.
Hey, Silver, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. I shifted to fabulous real fast.
Well, you know, I was thinking, are you doing fabulous because you are determined to do fabulous, which is a choice that I don't know, or a power that I don't know that many of us know that we have. Sometimes we have to decide that even if circumstances or things don't appear to confirm that we are fabulous and living a fabulous life in a world of fabulousness.
Okay, well, then that would be me. Well, I shifted fast forward into fabulous because, as you know, since you are the special guest, my radio BFF, my master, your mindset partner, you know that we had technical difficulties today, and technically I was bent out of shape about it, but
yeah.
But okay.
You drank the Kool-Aid, huh?
Yeah, ooh, I'm going
to
be better.
It's hard not to. Of course.
Yeah, so, but I'm looking forward to this conversation with you. I see a couple of callers on. I'm just going to check in. Caller, if you would like to say hi on the air, I'm just going to click in. Maybe you're just listening, but typically on this side of the board when there's a call, there's a comment or a question. So I'm going to click in to you right now, area code 404. Hi, welcome to Foxology. I'm Silver Ray, and I have Cassandra McShepherd on the line. How are you today? Hello? Okay, I think they just want to sit tight and listen, Cassandra. But that's okay. A lot of people do that. It sure is. It sure is. I am so happy to say that since this show launched in January, you were a part of that when we did Do Resolutions Really Work? I have had thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads of the shows, and while that's not millions and millions, that is extremely encouraging to me, and I just want to say thank you to the people who take the time to go in and download the show and that are enjoying my mission, and I just appreciate that. I see that. It's extremely encouraging, and I look forward to a bigger and better future with Foxology, so you can count on it. More shows, more education, empowerment, more exciting things that will definitely light up your life. So thank you so much. Well, Cassandra, we got a plate full today.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about pain and healing. And one of the first things I have with in my notes, let's just talk about, first of all, how you land in that place, the land of pain. There's so many things that can happen in life. I said that in the introduction to the show, and the list is so long. You know, you can just about start with anybody's life and any particular subject where there could potentially be some difficulty or challenge or tragedy or mishap or any number of things that can find a person in the land of pain, where the hurt has gotten so great from a relationship or a loss of a job or a change of circumstances, or even just trying to cope with the way we see the world unfolding. I've learned from a few people, they feel terribly distraught and confused about what things are going on in the realities, you know, of it all. And it certainly is painful. I don't know, you'd have to be made of concrete not to look at some of this stuff and not feel it in a very strong, compassionate way. But let's talk about how we absorb it and how we find ourselves there. Sometimes we, you know, feel like we've gotten hit by a Mack truck, and then sometimes it's something that has lingered for a long time, issues that we've carried from very young years in our life. But my first thought is that we do need to investigate, take a good look within it, where it has come from and where it's sitting and what we need to do about it.
I agree. As with most, if not all, things that we discuss, I like to start with identifying what we are talking about. And pain is personal, and pain is relative to the person, because what might hurt you, stress you, vex you, get you all bent out of shape might stimulate somebody else or might not bother yet another person. I am, as you know, Silver, I spent much of my early life designing for entertainers. I think about, as many of your listeners might have known and appreciate, the works of the late Phyllis Hyman, whose pain seemed to be so great and for so long that she took a way out that caused a lot of people who loved her a lot of pain as she decided to take her life, to end her life. I think about back in those days, I was, of course, much younger, a lot less read as I am, certainly more well-read today. But I think about back in those days, and I was stressing, suffering, tripping. He didn't call, and he can be whomever, because, you know, sometimes they don't do what they say they're going to do. But, you know, he said he cared, and he said that, you know, he was going to be in places that he wasn't. And he wasn't on the phone when he said that he was. And quite frankly, he hadn't been on the phone for quite some time. So, of course, I was brokenhearted and stressed and pressed and depressed and all of those things. And the thing about that kind of emotional, psychological pain is it's insidious, because I had just lost the ability to even get up. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Or 20-something. And then I got a call from yet another client, Blue Lovett from the Manhattans, who informed me that he had wired a deposit into my account. And all of a sudden, as though with some kind of magical elixir, I checked the account, the balance was overflowing, and I felt instantly better. I felt before as though he, of course, now again, you can fill in the blank, had ripped my heart out of my chest, flung it back in my face, dripping blood all over my bleach white designer silk shirt. Until I realized that I had got some buckets. And I thought, oh, my God, I feel better. Turns out I was not brokenhearted. I was just broke. But I was completely committed to the pain and frustration and disappointment of being brokenhearted. Now, that is so striking to me, because I, who, you know, think I know some things, really couldn't tell the difference, because I hadn't looked. I was going with what was in front of my face, which was, you know, what I wanted to happen wasn't happening, and just fell all the way off the cliff into all kinds of despair. When an action, and it's not about, you know, it's not about, well, actually, in that day, it was about money, but it's not about money in and of itself, but it was just that something unexpected happened and literally took me out of that place, a place that I never, by the way, revisited. So, again, as I say, we need to identify what we're talking about. It is critical to identify the source of your pain, your angst, your frustration. Where is it coming from? What is it? Is it even really real? It's like you said, that answer is not on the outside. It is only on the inside.
You know, based on what you just explained, and you probably don't realize this, but I have to tell you that the show went out for a few seconds and we missed part of your story. I had to get reconnected, but I think we got the gist of what was going on, but part of what you just explained has to do a lot with a self-messaging that we give ourselves, because even though you felt, it sounded like that there was this auto-response to whatever was going on, it was really a message that you were telling yourself about what you, how you perceived what had gone on. You told yourself. And so it says that we really do choose the messages that we create our own self-inflicted wounds emotionally and mentally. Many times people have gone on about their business, if it does have something to do with another individual, gone on about their business, we're not on their mind, not on their to-do list, not anything, but we still continue to give ourselves a message about what we believe they're thinking or doing, and consequently, again, we're you know, slapping ourselves upside the head with that messaging and you know, squeezing the life out of our own hearts because we believe it. Mm-hmm. So Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to turn that off first and recognize that something you said, there is probably no reality to it. If we are not experiencing an actual response or action or reaction, that we are listening to another's voice, or they are doing things that in the physical that we are able to experience, we have to shut down that voice inside our head that's telling us we need to be in pain about that particular thing. And I'm glad you brought that up that way, because Master Your Mindset Monday is geared toward us getting inside of our heads. I learned the hard way about things that we do tell ourselves, and I'm sure a lot of people do. You buy into a lot of things because that's all you know at the time. But, you know, of course, when you know better, we really need to do better. And when I learned the power of mind shifting, of changing your mind, of changing your thoughts, of really grabbing hold of your thinking, when I first heard it, I can remember processing that and thinking, how the heck do you do that? Thoughts seem to be a machinery of it, of its own. You know, it seems to be its own, have its own mechanics. And then I heard someone say, just try stopping the thought. Just try stopping it. And I remember lying in bed one night, and some thoughts were going through my mind, and I said, okay, stop. And I was like, okay, that worked. Think about something else. And when I felt the thought coming back, I'd say, stop. And then I'd think about something else. It took a lot of practice. It takes a lot of awareness. It takes a lot of determination. But when you are used to and accustomed to certain type of thinking and you really want it to be different, you really do have to chase it down, shut it down, beat it down, turn it off, get rid of it somehow until your brain begins to process your new beliefs and your new ideas and your new ideals and all of that. And I said something to you as a perfect example when we were getting ready to go on the air, because you knew the level of frustration I was feeling. I said to you, I get to put to the test all of this stuff I say if I really believe it. And I do. I'll shut it down. I said, okay, time to do this show. And it's on, and I love doing this, and that's what's going to take stage right now, this moment. And so that's how it's really done that easily once you understand that you can shut that negativity off. But getting back to the pain aspect of it, I imagine that, and you know, certainly you and I both can talk about painful experiences, and some of it seems like depends on categorically has to run its course, such as grief. You know, there is a process of healing, because oftentimes that wound has so penetrated your, not just your mind, but your heart, your being, and your soul, your existence. And so that will often have to run its own course. The danger that you run into, though, is you keep feeding yourself the thoughts about that as well, that, oh, who knows what, you know, you're hanging on to something that doesn't exist anymore, or you're blaming yourself for something that you feel like, you know, an intervention could have caused, or any number of thoughts that could, challenge you to hold on to that pain. I think the important thing, another important thing that we look at, is that we do have to challenge ourselves mentally first to let it do what it needs to do. If it's process it, if it's let it run its course, if it's wake up like you just described in your scenario, like, oh, that really wasn't my problem. I was feeling sad over something else, and it wasn't that at all.
There is a saying which says that we are disappointed only by our expectations. And so then one would ask, do we live our lives without the expectation of anything? And the answer, of course, is absolutely not. We should expect the best of everything, but have no attachment to the outcome. Our expectations are hurting us, even in a grief situation, because we expect that someone should not have died. Though you don't outlive life, and of course, we all understand that. And there never is a good time to die. And when you're not suffering from the pain of grief, you can rationalize that. But it takes, again, a going deeper. It's kind of like living a life wide open, where you judge nothing, analyze everything, however deep or not, you look at everything. I love the phrase, it is what it is. And that is, you know, some trite, but it is so profound to me, because things just really are what they are, and you assess them as they come to you. But if people are doing what you so believe in, what we spend our time talking about on these Mastermind First Mondays of every month, once you assess a situation as it comes to you and you begin to even contemplate accepting the isness of what it is, then you know that you can change your mind or perception, your way of defining what you say it is, and have a different outcome other than the disappointment behind your expectation of what you wanted it to be.
So do I hear you saying then that we also create a pain factor because we design something in our thinking and it doesn't happen quite that way? It's another setup. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes, and I know that can sound as though it's oversimplifying situations, but I don't believe that it is. You can look at a person without the attachment. If we look at something as I think undeniably painful as the end of a life of a loved one, you can look at someone else who did not care about that person, and they're just looking at the end of a life, and, you know, oh, too bad, so sad, but they are not caught up in the pains, which are, it's a place. I mean, grief is a place. It's a real place. But they're not caught up in it as we are, because we knew and loved the person. The action, the thing that happened is the same, but it is viewed by different people. Now, I am not saying, well, maybe I am saying that if we look at the, as I say, is what it is, we come, we live, we go. And that is not a new reality. It is the reality. It's the set of circumstances that we deal with in this thing called life. And how, whatever you believe about that, if you think of the shame of, I mean, I lost my brother, my younger brother, when he was 38 years old. And that just really should not have happened. He left three beautiful children, one baby 6 months old. Now, if I'm looking at, you know, the rhyme, the reason, the rightness of that, then I'm setting myself up for pain, long-lasting grief and frustration and the why of it, when the reality is he came to his end and he was gone. So as you live and you learn and you realize that to stay in a place of the it should not have happened, or I personally expected different, I wanted something else, then you're setting yourself up for pain. When you and no amount of pain, grief, or suffering will change the set of circumstances? None.
I agree with you that you have to come, you have to, if you're going to get past it, you have to come to that point of reckoning with yourself, as hard as it is. And I'm thinking,
as I listen, grief is a place. Yeah. It takes time.
As I'm listening to you, it involves several things, particularly on that aspect of pain, of grief, and if you've lost someone or something tragic has occurred. It's hard to say those things to yourself because it seems like you're letting them go. It seems like you're saying, okay, that's enough of me feeling like this about you. And I'm probably overstating it, but I'm thinking that when a person feels like we got to move past the pain, that means I'm showing that I just don't feel it or care anymore. Well, those are not the realities that we're talking about. That's false. It's just saying that, and it's interesting you said that because one of my favorite phrases, too, is it is what it is. I remember, I can't remember the individual whose quote it was, but he said, you ask what is reality. He says, whatever is happening, that's reality.
And I'll take it one step further, and what you believe about it.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is, if you lose a relationship or you lose a loved one or you lose money or your business or whatever
job.
The case may be, it still is what it is. And if you want to move into a new dynamic at some point, there is a level where you have to let go of that pain by saying, yes, this is what it is. It's painful, but I can deal with it. I can ultimately get past it. But I think sometimes you believe that people use that as a punishment for the circumstances as well?
You know, Silver, I think we know for the most part that we're not healthy. I think that life is about this journey, should you choose to accept it and embark upon it, this journey to self-awareness and health. And when I say that we're not healthy collectively, it is behind all the information that we have gotten through, by, from the world and received without questioning it. And so I think, and I say that again to say that why do we equate loving somebody with pain? If I have to hold on to you and holding on to the love that I have for you hurts me, but that means that I keep you with me when the reality is you're gone. That's some real jacked up thinking. When I can go on with my life and celebrate the time that we had and the lessons that I learned and possibly the things that I shared and taught in love and go on, doesn't mean that I'm letting a person or an experience or a situation go. It simply means that I am choosing, and I have the power to do so, to look at it from a loving and positive perspective versus thinking about that person or that situation or that experience of loss from a position of pain and grief.
So I think we can say then that with the pain, with its initiation, that we can potentially look at it as not a good thing, but a thing to look at.
Right.
And
right.
To examine what we need to do as far as what has happened. How permanent is it? Is it something that, as you described with your experience, is it something that maybe I have put the incorrect perception on it? Is it something that I should process myself through so that I can look at it and use it for for good or for a lesson. So those would be some of the initial steps then that we should take if we can get to that part of our logic, which sometimes is a tough thing. But
as you and I have both said, that takes time. It takes, of course, the information
mm-hmm.
that these are things that will happen if you don't die, if you keep on breathing, if you keep on getting up, however hurt you might feel, or however disappointed, or in whatever state of grief you are. Those things, of course, don't, even for, I think, the most self-aware people, don't happen instantly, but they happen quicker, especially if you are looking to a situation and applying that logic to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, no doubt then, just based on the points that were just made, take a step back, a logical step back, and I'll say that we should do that. But if you are crying out enough or crying so much on the inside, one of the things that I feel a person should also do is ask for some help. Because if you can't, if everything's a blur to you because you can't maneuver yourself into a place of any kind of rational thinking, listen to the people who are looking at you or you are trusting in our close-up circle. People who love us and care about us are going to see these things and ask just plainly, how do I do this? Help me, I'm hurting is the title of this show. And sometimes that is the only thing you can do to begin the process of stepping into your own zone of logic and rationale with it. I also want to say that there is no suggestion with what we are discussing that this is a expeditious process, that it's just so quick. Now, you know, your story has an element of humor to it, you know, and I think that's great because I think you can spin things, some things, that quickly. But I know that there are also circumstances, and I've, you know, been an unfortunate part of some of them where things happen that are tragic, that wound you so much that it takes some time, even just the processing of the steps itself, because again, some of the wounds have penetrated so deeply into where you live on a daily basis. So I'm not by any means suggesting that the spinning your life around is you'll be okay later today or by tomorrow. The point of conversations like this is really to try to bring the little bit of light, of wisdom and understanding into the minds of people. Both you and I have been doing life coaching together for some years now. And what we understand is that when we experience something and when we can come through it and we know what it took to get through it, and because you and I are always too involved in other people's lives, we know a lot about what we know, just like you said a few minutes ago. It's not that we're trying to be the know-it-all, but we know what we know. And as
Absolutely.
You always so succinctly says, it's what you so far. So
precisely.
We know from that perspective what we share. And again, because of, you know, feedback and things that we have gotten, we don't take it lightly, the words that come out of our mouth and our heart or our mind when we're sharing what we feel we can. So I said all that to say that we are, again, using our wisdom and our experience that can provide just that inkling of a light that can come into a person's mind or being that says, yes, that's where I am, and yes, I can make it. Yes, I can survive. Yes, I can heal from this place that I thought was, you know, never going to go, this pain would never go away, that it would never change, that it was never going to be any different than this, that this is, you know, what's going to be for life. Well, that just isn't true. And so when we talk about it, it's...
Yeah. Go on. I was going to say it's not. I like to say, because I believe it's true, that if you woke up, you're not done yet. I don't believe that we wake into a life or a world to suffer. Suffering, another all these sayings by people that I don't remember who said them, but they stick with me, that suffering is optional. Again, this goes back to how you look on a thing. And so, and I do. No, we don't take this lightly. I do understand that place of I don't know and I don't care and I don't want to know. I know that place intimately. And yet, and still, I kept waking up. Part of this, what we're talking about, as we have said repeatedly, you got to get some information. That's the help that you spoke about. You also have to be willing, when you can, to listen, to try to do something else. It is a process. It is not a quick fix, but it is a fix. One of the things, Silver, that we haven't touched on, and I know you and I both know about this also, and I know that everything, as I've been listening to what we've been saying, all of this can be dismissed. A person can think, yeah, right, but I'm in physical pain. Not behind some kind of disappointment, but my body hurts. So let's deal with that.
Well, I think that, you know, there are sometimes mental and emotional issues, and, you know, that's my my thought, and it's certainly not because I'm really educated. I just do a lot of reading. That sometimes those things are brought on. Of course, there are real conditions that people have where, in fact, I know some people who have physical pain that has been really undiagnosed or specifically diagnosed to anything that is an illness or distressful in their body. So I don't have an answer to that as much as I do some of the mental, emotional things that we go through. I just know that there are findings that suggest that sometimes in certain circumstances that some of the physical things that we experience are the catalyst is the mental or emotional.
I think about the toothache that happens at night, or the ache or pain that come at night when day finally turns you loose and you're laying down to rest your body and your mind is quieting somewhat. And here is all of that physical pain that is just coming to plague you. And the reality of some of those things are that the circumstances that cause them are existing during your waking hours. You're just too busy to deal with them, to acknowledge them.
Wow.
And I think also, Silver, of what you said earlier, when you're in physical pain, you really need to go get some help with a quickness to find out. And of course, there are doctors and institutions designed for that specifically. But the healing process is one of choice, and it is one of the mind. I think about what's written on our side view mirrors in our vehicles, that images appear closer than they actually are. And that to me is so profound, because and you're looking there, and it appears that vehicle is right there, when in reality there is quite a bit of distance. And I think that the same thing is true with what we tell ourselves about what we're feeling. I have been hurting. And then I got had an opportunity to go play and have some fun. And I went and did that. Now, the pain was waiting for me when the fun ended. Before that time that I was otherwise busy, that I was thinking and looking on something else, something that was enjoyable to me, I was not aware, as aware of the physical pain. Yes, if something's broken, it needs to be mended, and of course there's a healing process with that. But I do agree with you, and I think that it's, you know, could be challenging if somebody is experiencing physical pain. But a lot of the angst that we feel is, I won't say it's in our mind, that sounds condescending, but it can be healed in the mind.
Yes, yes. You know, Cassandra, time flies when we are talking, it's seemingly so, and there's an area, a couple of things that I want to make sure that we touch on before we go. We actually have about 15 or 17 minutes left with the show, so what I want to talk about is looking on the outside as well. We've talked a lot about looking within. I think that it's critical. It's a critical space to begin in. But there are a lot of things on the outside that cause people pain. And when I say that, I do mean things outside, like a relationship, like being in the career that's not really feeling like it's your real choice. You know, you're there because you need to be. And I've read so many stories, even heard a couple people tell me that they, you know, literally break down crying on the way to work. It's that hard for them. So there's you know, outside factors and influences that I think we feel sometimes are really beyond our ability to do anything about. So we live in that land of pain. And, of course, that opens the door for us to talk about how changing your mind is one thing, but sometimes you literally got to make some changes. You got to just be big and bad and bold enough to go ahead and make the changes that take you out of feeling like that and putting you in the land of happiness and joy.
Mm-hmm. Called getting sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be broke down mm-hmm. enough where you don't really, I won't say you don't care, but the things that you think that you have, you are willing to let go for the peace that you believe that you deserve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had someone tell me that they had been married for 22 years and they had never been happy. And had a poor quality relationship that was painful. And so I just want to be very specific about some of the things I'm talking about. Now, I think it's one thing to look for the best and hope for the best, pray for the best, and do what you can to make a situation better. I think that if you spend 22 years doing that, you have literally sacrificed a great part of your life living in that pain when it doesn't take 22 years. And I know that a lot of people feel like I can't make that change because of my beliefs and all of that. I can't rebuttal that. I can't, because I know what it's like to feel like you must adhere to that. However, I just believe that our loving God did not intend for us to suffer abuse at the hands of an individual who is only making life absolutely painful and miserable to us. And that's just one circumstance. It's a true story. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but we have to realize that if you're in circumstances, whether it's a job or a friendship or a relationship or whatever influences it may be, we have to be, again, strong enough to make a choice to leave that situation for your own sake of sanity, the hope that's ahead, the happiness that's ahead, the life and future that's ahead. It leads us to believe that self-abuse and sabotage is okay. And I don't advocate that. You know, I know too many stories of real abuse to ever say that that would be okay. So I think we need to also realize our strengths, our power to go ahead and make, again, rational, logical, strategic choices about the influences, about our surroundings, about people, about circumstances that will actually take that pain out of the daily formula.
I agree, but I agree. And as I'm listening to you, I hear somebody saying, yeah, but I don't know how. And my answer to that would be, again, what you and I have both said, help. Now, what is help? You can always go to someone prayerfully. There is a trusted friend or family member or someone. But to me, the thing that you can count on that will never fail you is you and the God within you. But that needs to be grown. It needs to be cultivated. And that happens by information. And it doesn't happen instantly. You hear a good idea, you read a good idea, something comes across your plate, and for a second it sounds good, it feels good, and then you wake up to the realities that, or the sometimes cold reality of what you are experiencing. And I say, yeah, I understand that, but you've got to grow it. You've got to cultivate it. You've got to continue to read, continue to seek, continue to think, continue to question the situation that you're in that's causing you pain. And with that perseverance and that repetition, you do change gradually, but you do change.
Yes, yes. You know, I also want to make sure that I say that therapeutic care is also a great option. Now, I've never had any. Probably should have. But I think that getting professional help is something that can also play a great role in helping to, again, find your way through the maze of it all. The one thing I would say about that, though, is to make sure that whatever professional that you may be choosing, that they really do have a great sense of your particular situation. Now, sometimes I know a lot of people, if they're a Christian, they want to use Christian counselors or, you know, something, you know, if they're at work, there's sometimes programs and things there. And I do, as I said, I advocate getting help wherever you can get it, if it's good, legitimate help. But I do suggest that you really do your research before you entrust people with your information and your life that you put literally in their hands to try to maneuver you through something as challenging as this. But by all means, if it feels like that's the only direction to take, then, you know, I wouldn't say close the door on anything that was taking you in a positive and productive direction toward healing.
Yeah.
So one thing I think that...
I said I agree.
One thing we can't leave out, and you did touch on this a little bit, we'll talk about this and then we'll look at wrapping things up. The ability to change your circumstances and your surroundings and perhaps who you hang out with and the person you feel deeply in love with, all of that really does take, you know, some strength and wisdom. But I don't want to leave the conversation with the, without us reiterating once again how important it is to just change your thinking and to change your mind about it. And while that may be a big factor, again, there are some simple breakdowns for it. Do I want to be in pain about this? No. Is it hurting me? Yes. Do I need to make a decision? Yes. Is it in my best interest? No. Whatever the answers are that you know are going to give you, once you look at the pros and cons, that again, that's taking you toward a healthy place in your thinking, those are the decisions that you must make. It's not an option. I don't feel there's a lot of gray area when it comes to digging yourself out of that place that's so hard and painful and dark. I don't think there's a real gray area as far as the decision-making part of it. I think you have to say, yes, I've got to get myself out of here. I've got to get myself healthy. I got to do something to change the way that things are, or my perception of things the way they are.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, we are getting very close to the end of the show, and there are just a couple of things I want to have us, go over. The feelings, something you said earlier, the feelings are real. We're not suggesting that they're not. They are something that, again, you have to deal with, and it is what it is. But know that there is a way out, there's a way up, there's a way through it. Coming to terms with the reality is another step toward in the right direction. For the good, the bad, the ugly of it all, it's a reality that we have to take with us. Whatever has occurred, or whatever has hurt you, or whatever has brought you to that place of desperation or despair, look at it. If you can, tell yourself that there's got to be a lesson in it. Look for it and see what needs to be your particular coping mechanisms, at least for the moment.
Can I touch on something that you just said there before you go on? Because
sure.
It's so powerful. You said, ask if there is a lesson. And that is such a simple thing to do, but such a powerful thing to do. Simply asking, what am I to get from this, takes you from being a victim and places you as a student. And that is huge, huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I wish I could take credit for that train of thought, but I often have heard it and have often, you know, read it in material as well. So I can't take full credit for it, but definitely as we go through this life, you know this, Cassandra, it just makes sense for us. If we can't literally come up for what we think is a reason, we definitely need to look for a lesson.
Right.
Whatever is happening, because there is something to be learned that it may be, you know, a tough lesson that we have to learn, but it might be an oh-so-sweet one that we are able to walk away with. But definitely there are things there that we can always learn from, and I just believe in that kind of growth. I think when you're stretching your thinking and your paradigm that way, you just are lending yourself to being a stronger and more empowered individual with what you go through, and as a preparation and a shield even for things that potentially are going to happen. you know, life, I wish I could say with all of this that, well, that'll take you past your pain and that'll be it and you'll be good to go. But, you know, life tends to bring us things that, again, will challenge our head and our emotions and our heart. The good news is when we do learn to manage and maneuver it, we really do a lot better with it when these things come into play in our lives.
Yes,
for sure. Well, I do want to thank you again. I did put a little extra time on the show just in case, but I think we've said a mindful in the last hour. So I am going to thank you for locking yourself down to have another Master Your Mindset Monday with me. I think that, you know, when we put our heads together and we talk about these things and with the motivation that we have behind it, I think people can only understand that we come from a genuine and very sincere place when we share what we share and know that we are trying to empower them with something that we really believe is going to be helpful to them as life coaching tips. So thank you very much. I want to remind people that Cassandra McShepherd is one of the hottest TV hosts in the Milwaukee area. She's on Real Milwaukee, and that show does live streams on the internet, so you can catch her weekdays at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And I'm telling you, whether you are there in that vicinity or watching, she is really fun to watch. So I hope you will check it out, along with her website. I believe it's www.CassandraMcShepherd.com, right, Cassandra?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And she's also available for gigs, speaking, and she's got one of the most beautiful voices. She's a jazz cabaret singer, and I tell you, she rocks the house. She brings the house down when she entertains. So I promote her because she's my sister and she's my radio BFF, so I hope you'll check it out. That information is on the Blog Talk website every time that she shares in the conversation here on Foxology. So check it out.
So I have to say, thank you very much. I have to say in closing that all of those things were born of pain because I survived. All of the things that I do. And no, seriously, you know this to be true, was because I survived.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, thank God you did, because you are really making such a special difference and influence in the lives of so many. And I just know that that also is going to get bigger and better. So keep doing your thing, sis. I look forward to talking to you real soon. Thanks again.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I want to thank all of you for joining me today. If you had checked in earlier today, boy, I'm so sorry. I just did everything I could to make things work, and things were just not working. And sometimes you just have to step back and let that take its own course as well. And it all happened a couple hours later than I had hoped. But the show did go on. And so thank you so much for your listenership. Please share with your friends that Foxology is on every Monday. The time tends to vary sometimes depending on the availability of my guest. But share with them that we are doing exciting and empowering things and offering information that's definitely meant to bring insight and inspiration. So I want to leave you with this. I read the most beautiful quote today, and I thought it was just so appropriate. If you are in pain or you do know someone else that is, be encouraging, and I'm encouraging you. This show is to encourage you. And this quote, I think, is a great way to end the show. It's from Winifred Newman, someone I was in my email today. The quote says, "There are no hopeless situations, only people who think hopelessly." I hope some things have been said today that if you are in that place, that has given you a little bit of light, some inspiration, and a little bit more hope. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have an awesome day.